chapter 7, verse 27 of the Bhagavad Gita, with your moderator, Dr. Anil Mehta, at the Bakersfield Chinmay Mission.
So last week, on verse number 25 and 26, the Lord said that I am not known to anybody. Why? Because I am covered with Maya, because people have this delusion of Maya where they do not see the reality within because they are so fascinated by the world. And so that delusion shields them from me, even though I am there as the life principle in you. But he calls us mudha, he calls us foolish people because we do not see what is within us and what is with us constantly, and we always look outside. And then the Lord says, I know the past, I know the present, I know the future. Whatever has happened, is happening, and will happen is known to me as the life, as the consciousness. But people do not know me. I know everything, but nobody knows me. Mam tu vedana kaschana. No one knows me. Today he will talk about what is this delusion or Maya. Why are people deluded and why don't they know me? What is the reason for the confusion? And also, what is the reason for birth? Why do we actually take birth? So this topic we will talk about today. So we're doing chapter 7, verse number 27.
Ichha dvesha samutthena.
Ichha dvesha samutthena.
Dvandva mohena bharata.
Dvandva mohena bharata.
Sarva bhutani sammoham.
Sarva bhutani sammoham.
Sarge yanti parantapa.
Sarge yanti parantapa.
So he says, Ichha dvesh samutthena. Dvandva mohena sammoham. In the second line he says sammoham. So this total delusion, moha means the delusion, that screen of ignorance, where does it arise from? Why are we ignorant about our true nature? Even though the Lord is with us, why do we say, oh, I haven't seen God? You go around asking, have you seen God? Have you seen God? All the great Mahatmas and, you know, saints, we say, have you seen God? But God is with us. I am asking that question because of God is in me. The fact that I am saying I have not seen God is because God is speaking through me. So that is a foolish question, but all of us are deluded. And why does that delusion come from? This sammoham, where does it come from? Ichha dvesha samutthena. Ichha means desire. Dvesha means hatred. So likes and dislikes, wants and don't wants, desire and hatred. So from this arises this moha. And what is the moha? The moha is the pairs of opposites. Because of the likes and dislikes, I get dvandva, pair of opposites. And we'll talk about what we mean by that. Dvandva is a very common word used in many places by the teacher in the Bhagavad Gita and has a special significance. So we'll talk about that. So he says these desire and the hatred, likes and dislikes, create the pair of opposites, dvandva. And because of that, sarva bhutani, all beings, all creatures on the earth, they are deluded. And because of that delusion, sarge yanti parantapa. Sarge means birth. They come to birth. So they are born because of this delusion. And he calls him Parantapa. Parantapa is a word for Arjuna that means scorcher of foes. Arjuna was a great warrior and had defeated a lot of enemies in his lifetime. And he said, you are a great warrior and a lot of evil people you have been able to overcome. But now the enemy is within you. It is the desire, it is the ignorance. So that is the enemy you need to overcome. So let us talk about likes and dislikes and how do they create the pairs of opposites. And as this chart says, Buddha expressed it very beautifully. He said, not getting what we want is sorrow. I want something, I do not get it, so I am sorrowful. And then he says, getting what we do not want, getting what we do not want is also sorrow. Is also sorrow. So if I get what I do not want, then I am sorrowful. Or I want something and I do not get it. So either way, so there could be two types of sorrows. I want something and I didn't get it, so I am miserable. Or I did not want something and it came. And we want life to be a one-way street. You know, I dislike something, so I should run away from that and I should go towards what I like. So from dislike to like, dislike to like. So we one-way street. We want everything. That I should only go in one direction. I don't like these things, so I should run away and go towards what I like. Ah, if that happened, life would be perfect. Life would be complete. But unfortunately, the world does not see it like that. I am going towards things I like, but the world is coming in the opposite direction, bringing me things I do not like. So I am wanting, I put a sign, one-way street, no entry. The world doesn't care. It keeps on coming. And it keeps on bringing me things I dislike. And interestingly, that is what they say, that if there is something you particularly dislike or something you particularly don't want, nature makes sure you get it. Because that is our way of education. That is our way of growing up. And that is what we learn in spirituality. That is what you learn when you sit for meditation, when you deal with the world. That is called maturity. That understanding that life is not all just what I like, you know. Not everybody gets everything that they want. If they did, you know, because I want something and another person also wants it, so both of us want that particular, it could be a particular job, it could be a particular, you know, business or a contract or a girl, or and two people can't have it. And so then there is always, one will get it, one will not get it. You know, 10 people are running in the Olympics, only one is going to come first. So in life we have to adjust. We have to be willing to adjust that, yes, some things I will get, some things I will not get. Sometimes I will be happy, sometimes I will not be happy. And that is called maturity. And as kids, you know, we say, oh, why can't I have it? But most of us don't even grow up. Even as adults, we act like children, that I want what I want, when I want it, and where I want it. And if I don't get it, I'm going to be unhappy, I'm going to be miserable. So that is what he says, that this likes and dislikes, this wanting and running away from, desiring and hating, causes this pair of opposites. And what is the pair of opposites? What is this dvandva? Dvandva is, at the body level, it is heat and cold, health and ill health. In life, you will get heat one day, you will get cold. Now summer is coming, it will be 110 in Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when the winter comes, it will be 30 degrees. So it's not always going to be, you know, 70, nice spring weather like San Diego. It's not. You're living in Bakersfield, so you will have heat and cold. You will have health and ill health. You know, one day I'm healthy, one day I'm not so healthy. So that is the pair of opposites at the body level. At the mind level, we have joys and sorrows. One day I'm joyful, one day I'm sorrowful. One day somebody loves me, and one day somebody doesn't want to even talk to me, and doesn't say hello. And I said hello to her, and she didn't even say hello back. Then I feel, you know, insulted, I feel depressed, I feel sorrowful. Oh, my husband didn't talk to me nicely today. So these joys and sorrows will be there at the mental level, the pairs of opposites. And then at the intellectual level, it is success and failure. I tried for that contract, I didn't get it. I wanted to achieve that, you know, degree or that position or that power, I didn't get it. Or it can be praise and insult. You know, somebody praises me, somebody criticizes me, somebody appreciates me, somebody doesn't even care. You know, I did so much for them and he didn't even say thank you. You know, I went and worked for 2 hours in his house. He didn't even give me a cup of tea. So these are all the pairs of opposites. At the physical level, at the intellectual level, at the emotional level. So he says, all beings are constantly chasing after what they like and running away from what they dislike. And in that process, they constantly suffer this pair of opposites. And that's why, you know, our guru, our teacher, we rever him as Dvandva Titam. That the teacher, my teacher, is beyond the pairs of opposites. And that is what a realized master or a spiritual evolved person is, one who can remain balanced in the pairs of opposites. Today we are celebrating Gurudev's Jayanti, Swami Chinmayananda, who was the founder of our mission and who left his body in 1993, was born on May 8th. And that's why when we pay homage to our teacher, we say he is Dvandva Titam, Triguna Rahitam. He is beyond all gunas, beyond the pairs of opposites. So that is what a wise person is. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, he says that sukh, dukh come to everybody. Joys and sorrows come to everybody. But samasukha dhiram, samasukha dukham dhiram, so amritatvaya kalpate. Who is the dhira, who is the wise person? The one who can remain balanced. Yes, there will be joys. It's not that he becomes like stone and he doesn't care, you know, people are suffering. In fact, when people are suffering, his heart melts. But when it comes to his own body or his own mind or his own intellect, he says, it doesn't matter. He knows that the body is meant to decay. One day the body will deteriorate, one day it will die. He knows that in the mind, someday there may be joys. Someday there may be sorrows. Intellectually he knows, somebody today, somebody may praise me, tomorrow they may crucify me. And so he is beyond the pairs of opposites. He is able to watch. Why? Because he is established in the reality. The Om, that is the Lord within, he is firmly established in that truth. And once that person is firmly established, then for him, it really doesn't matter. You know, whether things come, whether the things go, whether, you know, joys and sorrows, he knows that they are part of life and he is able to watch them. And like a play, just as in a play, you know, today you are playing the part of a king and tomorrow the actor may be given the part of a beggar. But he is fine either way. You know, he says, I have been given the part of, he's not going to say, oh, I only want to play the rich part of the king. No, in one movie he's the king and the second movie he's the beggar. He says, fine, he does each part to the best of his ability. One year he gets Oscar for a king and next year he gets Oscar for playing a beggar. Why? Because he knows that I am neither the king nor the beggar, but I am somebody different. So similarly, the wise person, you know, knows that I am neither the king nor the beggar, but these are all states, these are all parts I am playing. And within that part, whatever is required of this wise person, he or she fulfills it, does it to the best of their ability, and is not affected, is calm, is able to maintain that equanimity. But in our case, what happens is that we are so caught up in this moha, in this delusion of wanting, desiring, and the biggest attraction for us is money. You know, money is the one thing that people say, everything else I can overcome. But the desire for money is so strong. Again, we are not saying that one should not have money or one should not. But the longing for money, the longing for the desire that I must have it. Person has 10 million in the bank and he's still working, you know, 18 hours a day, 16 hours a day. Why are you working so hard? Do you have time for your wife and children? No. Do you have time for enjoyment? I don't have time. I am too busy. So when are you going to enjoy? At retirement. After I turn 65, when I retire? Do you even know that you are going to retire? You know, there's a story about this person who popularized jogging. And he made jogging very famous. He was the first one who started jogging. And I mean, people used to jog, but he wrote books about jogging and gave lectures, and he became a multimillionaire. And then he died, how? While he was jogging, when he was very young. So, I mean, the point is that we do not have time to enjoy what we have because we are always postponing our enjoyment, that after I get this, I'll be happy. After the next million, I'll be happy. Talking about money reminds me of this story. There was this lady, this farmer's wife, who called her insurance agent. And she says, last night there was a fire in my farm, and the barn burned down, and the barn is worth $60,000. So, can you send me a check for $60,000? So the insurance agent says, no, we don't work like that. And I'm not going to give you the money, but we send people out and they will survey the barn. And then we will replace it. We will fix it and we will replace it. We won't give you the money, but we will replace the barn. She says, okay, in that case, I want to cancel the life insurance policy on my husband. I don't want him to be replaced. I want the money. So... a lot of women say, yeah, that's true. Anyway, so that is what he says, that is the problem with the world. We have no time to look within, no time to enjoy, no time to feel that inner presence, the Lord's presence, who is there within us as joy, as satisfaction, as silence, as peace. And we are constantly agitated, running after objects, emotions, desires, thoughts, wanting. And the more we want, the more the stronger the vasanas become. The more the desire becomes, the stronger it becomes. And the stronger the desires, the further away is the truth. See, the truth can only be visible. The truth is within us as the Lord, as the consciousness. But because of this thick film of vasanas, this thick film of desires, that truth is not visible to us. Like last week we talked about Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pahitam Mukham. The Upanishad says because of this golden plate, the truth is veiled. And what is the golden plate? It is the desires. And because of these desires, this person is constantly agitated, constantly disturbed. In fact, the Lord says, it is because of desires that a person is born. As we had even talked about yesterday, I think a couple of some of you were there yesterday at the very tragic occasion when one of our Bal Vihar children had passed away, and they had her funeral yesterday. But we talked about this, that why do I take birth? Why does any individual take birth? What is the reason? So they say that a person is born because he or she has unfulfilled vasanas, desires, and has karmas or actions that they have not gone through the results of. Because as we know, whatever actions you do, according to the law of karma, if you do good actions, you get good results. If you do bad actions, you get bad results. But say I have done 1,000 bad actions in this lifetime. I cheated, I stole, I became a multimillionaire, and then I died. Suddenly I suffered a heart attack and died. And they'll say, oh, this person was a horrible person, lived a horrible life, and did not even suffer any of the problems. Or a person was very good and kind and loving and helped everybody and still died and very poor and very miserable. So again they say, this poor guy, he was so nice and he suffered all his life, but, life didn't give him any choice. So that is why we believe that in reincarnation, you carry the karmas. Whatever good or bad karmas you have done, you carry them. And in this particular lifetime, certain amount of those karmas that I have done in my past, which are called as sanchit or accumulated karmas, become manifest in this particular life. They're called as prarabdha, or they're called destiny. And that's why each and every one of us is born with certain destiny. That, you may be born in a nice house, whether people, your parents love you and they are wealthy and you are well-to-do. Or you may be born in a house where the parents are abusive and they beat you and they mistreat you and you are very poor. So that is the destiny, that is the prarabdha. And as long as there are karmas that are done selfishly, that with I and I want, and done with that sense of doership, that I am doing it, then those karmas continue to accumulate in your bank, and you have to undergo the result. They could be good karmas or they could be bad karmas. So they say actions that are done unselfishly without the sense of I and I want, without the doership, those are the actions that do not bind you. Those are the actions that do not create more vasanas. As long as I am chasing after, longing for, and wanting, those actions bind. We are not saying that one should not have a house and a car and a wealth, but that's not the point. The point is that when there is an intense longing and when there is a sense of doership that I am doing it, as long as that I is there, that person's ego gets stronger, and the stronger the ego, the further we are from the truth. But in the wise person's case, when he is acting in the world or she is acting, they say that I am a servant of the Lord is working through me. There is no sense of doership, there is no sense of enjoyership, there is no sense of I want. And such people are the ones who do not accumulate more karmas. So in my life, I had certain vasanas in my previous birth that were not fulfilled. And so because of those vasanas, those desires, each individual takes birth. So each and every one of us takes birth based on my desires and based on my karmas. Say if in my previous life, I wanted to be a singer, and I really, really wanted to be a singer, I didn't have a good voice, I took a lot of lessons and I was a failure, then there is a good possibility that in my next life, if the desire is so strong to be a singer, there is a good possibility I'll be born in the house of singers where my talent will be nurtured and where from childhood I'll have a good voice. So based on my desires and based on my karmas, if I have been a horrible person, if I have hurt people and if I have cheated people, or if I have acquired money that I did not deserve, or if I have taken from somebody, there is a very good possibility, not a good, it's a sure possibility, that either I have to pay it back in this life itself in the form of, you know, some illness. Like if we find people who are very wealthy, sometimes their children turn out to be, you know, drug addicts or turn out to be, you know, horrible people. So that is one way that you pay for the karmas. Or it may happen that in the future lifetimes, you will have to repay that loan, repay that debt, because this accounting is perfect. There is no error. It never happens that any good deeds go unrecognized or any bad deed goes unpunished. And that is why they say that your future is in your own hands. There is nobody sitting up there and writing, you know, that, oh, this is, I'm going to give this person joy, or I'm going to give this person sorrow, or God does not, you know, play favorites and throw favors at somebody and punish somebody. No. Each and every one of us is responsible for our own life. And what they say is that whatever you have done in your past, you cannot change. Say, what I did in my 10 years ago, or what I did 10 lifetimes ago, I don't know. All I have in my hand is the present. So in the present, if you live intelligently, if you live wisely, if you use the opportunity you have, this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, this understanding, and use your intellect and choose. Am I just going to be a slave to my likes or dislikes? Or am I going to learn to evolve? Am I going to become a better person? And once you choose wisely, as Hansa also told us last time, that the man has been endowed with an intellect. He has been blessed with an intellect. So we have to use that intellect to make ourselves better, make right choices, because constantly in life you get choices. They call them a Shreya and Preya in the Kathopanishad. It is called a Shreya and Preya. Preya is one I enjoy, one I like. And Shreya is what is good for me. And in life it may happen that something that is good for me, you may not, initially you may not like it, but in the long run it gives you joy. While something you enjoy at the moment, but long term, it may give you sorrow. Example is, you go to a restaurant and you have a choice of eating a big piece of chocolate cake or a plate of broccoli. Mm-hmm. You say, the chocolate cake, I want that, I don't want the broccoli. Yeah, but the chocolate cake, yeah, but then you have to pay later on, you know, pay for it in pounds or pay for it in ill health or whatever. If you're constantly eating sweets, you can, while the broccoli, you may not enjoy it, but you can slowly develop a taste. And you know that even though at this moment it doesn't seem very pleasant, but in the long run, it will give me good health. So this is just one example. So they say that constantly you are faced with these choices. That's why they say dvandva is the pair of opposites. And the choice is yours, how you want to live. So that is the essence of this shloka, that do not run after objects, but turn towards me, the Lord says. And do not be delusion. Do not be deluded. Do not have this illusion. And remember that ultimately the goal of spirituality is to remove the vasanas, to remove my selfish desires, work, do all my actions dedicated to the Lord. And when you do that, then such a person is called a saint. And that is the goal of all human beings. And once you totally eliminate your selfish desires, you become an instrument of the Lord, then you can see him right very easily in your heart. And that is what the goal of spirituality is called, self-realization or God-realization, which means the same. To realize that I am that consciousness. That is the goal.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Akashchit Dukkhabhavi. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.